This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Called Tazkiyatun Nafs, which means purifying the soul. And this is a statement that's found in the Quran, in the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in the statements of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam often. Tazkiyah, it comes from the root word to mean purify, or the root word to mean increase. Both of them are well, both of them are used in language. So when we say zakka, it could be he's increased, he's profited, he's added to what he already has. And it could also mean he's cleansed what is already present. And therefore when it refers to the nafs, the ego, the inner soul, the qalb, the heart, it refers to something that is essential for all of us. Each and every human being is created from three things. You and I, we are made of three things. The first of them is badan, physically. I'm made out of elements. And usually, my dear brother, my dear sister, this wood that I knock on is very much in its element and its organic nature, similar to who I am. And therefore, when we look at this organic substance, I and it are the same, in the terms of badan, in the terms of my physical being. The earth is where you are from. Minha khalaqna. From the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you. Wa minha yu'idhum. To the earth, all of us shall be returned. And from it, we will be resurrected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you sit on a chair, or when you sit under a tree, or when you enjoy the sun, light that beams on you, or when you take a sip of water, you recognize that and you are the same. But Allah says, فَضَّلْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. We honored, we elevated, we rose the children of Adam above all of our other creation. You and I are different from that piece of wood. It breathes, or respirates, or transpires, as we do. And look at the hikmah of it. The trees, they breathe in what we breathe, and we breathe in what the trees breathe out. You are H2O, your blood, 70% of your blood, 70% of your tissue is water. You are water, 70% of you. Allah says in the Quran, خَلَقْنَا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ مِّن مَّاءٍ. Everything was created from water. It has that essence in that need. So you are H2O, with a little bit of other stuff. Mixed with it. But you go further. You have also been given aql. And one of the aims of our sharia is not just to protect the badan, for that reason we don't harm that dollar or that dog, but we also protect our aql. And therefore intoxicants and that which is sinful because it harms the intellectual reason. And the believer, the human being, was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the intent to perform tafakkur wa tadabbur. And Allah tells you in the Quran, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they not think of the meaning in the Quran? أَمَا عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Or are their hearts put away, locked away from the truth? And therefore the heart and understanding and the truth are linked together by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the prophets that preceded him would sit and look up to the heavens. And they would see what you and I don't see. Not that they had eyes that could see further. But they could see in the order of the heavens and the earth, in the beauty and the majesty of the creation of Allah, that there is dalala, evidence for the Creator. Why there are others who look to that same sky and that same landscape and say, it looks nice. But they look at it and they say, Subhanallah, Rabbi peasant who's very miserable. The first heart transplants, they would take a valve from what animal? The pig. They take it out of the pig heart and they put it in that human heart. They give it some chemical so it doesn't reject it and you are fine. You live. Because genetically, you and that swine are very similar. Very, very similar. 99% similar. But you have what it doesn't have, which is us. Reasoning and rationale. And then you have the third, which is the most important of the three, which is you have a nafs and a ruh and a soul. So now your soul becomes the guardian of the badin and the one that motivates the aqd. Your soul desires and seeks. Your soul commands a place of majesty in your body. It seats itself at your heart, not the physical heart, but the proverbial heart. The heart of truth and the heart that rejects falsehood. And therefore the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةٍ. In everything that means there's a place. There's a muscle. If it is healthy, the body physically is healthy. Your heart, if it's healthy, your body recovers quickly from wounds and diseases. But if your heart is weak and tired and old and feeble, the rest of your body follows suit. And then the Prophet says, speaks to us about our soul and who we are. He tells us, therefore, to be conscious of the heart that cures us and the heart that makes us sick. And therefore, the Imams, when they speak about a ruh, when nafs, or the qalb, is one of the three. Allah says in Surah Al-Isra, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ الرُّوحِ. Really, this is an amazing ayah. The mushrikeen, they used to like to haggle with the Prophet. They come and they say, look, we've got to ask him questions because if he stumbles, then we can say to people, look, he doesn't know the answer. So they said, let's go to the ahbab, let's go to these people who are, you know, scholarly, rabbis, monks, Jews, Christians, these people who have knowledge of the scripture. And they came to them and they said, give us questions. We want to go to Muhammad and show he does not know the answer. So the rabbis and the monks, they told them, ask him about three things. Ask him about the ruh, saluha an ruh, wa saluha an fikyat al awa al nafah, and ask him about men who hid in a cave in the ritual something in their scripture, not only in Arabian, they knew of it. And ask him about the man who governed two eras, dilhamani. And they came to the Prophet and said, this. And the Prophet said, if you need to come back tomorrow and forgot to say, inshallah. Forgot to say, inshallah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they came back the next day and he said, if you need to, I don't know. I want you. Now I don't have anything. And this is a sign of the truthfulness of the Prophet that he doesn't speak from his own self, from his own volition or desire. He says, come back tomorrow. They came back tomorrow. And he didn't have the answer. On the third day, he didn't have the answer. They slaughtered 100 camels for a big barbecue. It was a big bash. Come on over. Muhammad had, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, does not have the answer. This occurred for 15 days of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was a test for the Prophet and a test for Sahaba. So he come and Abu Bakr say to Rasulullah, ask Allah, maybe Allah will. Until finally he believed this end. With the largest section of the Quran revealed at one time. From the end of Surah Al-Isra, where it's أَلُونَكَ عَنَ الْرُوحِ قُلْ الْرُوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّ until Surah Maryam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when the Prophet saw Jibreel, he said, لِمَا لَمْ تَأْتِ بَعْدِ. How come you didn't come yet, Jibreel? What took you so long? And Jibreel answered him by Allah's word. Allah said, وَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ لَهُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِينَا وَمَا خَلْفَنَا. We cannot descend, I cannot. what they came to church on Sunday. You become habitual ever since that moment. This is why it is in you. It is a part of your culture because it was such a serious lesson to the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah. So the first question they ask, what is the soul? A ruh. And Allah says, a ruh min amri rabbi. My Lord is the only one who is knowledgeable of that matter. You have been given limited knowledge, meaning even if it was to be shed to you and explained to you and revealed to you, you would not fathom its significance and reality. The ruh, according to Shaykh al-Islam ibn Qayyim, now there are very limited hadith of the Prophet speaking about ruh. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Qayyim, one of the great theologians of Islam, he says, the ruh is your life. And it is what holds you up. And the moment it separates from you, you fall down. It's what keeps you up. And therefore, it written in Abu Salah is the training of the ruh to stand up. قُومُ لِلَّهِ قَالِدِينَ. Stand to Allah in attention. The ruh is also the nafs when it is still a part of you. So the ruh outside your body before you are born and after you are dead, it is called ruh. But while you are alive, it is called nafs. Nafs and ruh are the same thing. The nafs is the ruh when it's in you. Once it has separated from you, it is called ruh. Before it arrives in you, while you are still in your mother's womb, it is called ruh. Once it's in you, it is called nafs. And from that word, we as Arabic people, when we speak, we say, atanaffas. I breathe because I contain a soul that allows me to breathe. Nafas. Right? Breathe in, breathe out. Qalb is the same word to describe the ruh. The heart, the proverbial heart, not your real heart, but the heart of looking and seeing the truth. Within the message of the Prophet ﷺ, there is a message. And I want you to look at these two verses. There are really everything we're going to talk about today is the dua of Ibrahim for our ummah. In the bottom part of the sheet, on the page, you see Allah says, رَبَّنَا وَبْعَكْتِينَ Ibrahim alayhi salam. He made the dua and he said, our Lord, send to them, to the people who will live in this area of Mecca, رَسُولَ مِنْهُمْ, a messenger who will come from them. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. He will read to them your verses and teach them the book, وَالْحِكْمَةِ, and teach them wisdom. And then he said, وَلْزَكِّيهِمْ, and he will help them to purify themselves. إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. In the next, in the top of the page, in Surah Al-Imran, Allah says, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah has favored the believers. Allah has favored you and I. He chose you and I. What did He choose for us? What was so fortunate that we were to receive? إِبْعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنْفُسِهِمْ. He sent to us a messenger from amongst ourselves. يَسْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ. وَلْيُزَكِّيهِمْ. Here Allah puts tazkiyah before the dua of Ibrahim. In the bottom here, Ibrahim says, O Allah, send them someone who will recite to them the book, who will teach them the book, who will give them hikmah, and then purify them. But Allah says no. I'm going to change your dua, Ya Ibrahim. There are people who have knowledge. Who have knowledge of the kitab and the hikmah and the book and the sunnah. But their heart is not pure. And therefore the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from the first people on the day of judgment that will be punished are those who learned and memorized and taught. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah says, the dua of Ibrahim is accepted, but I will put forward that the mission of the Prophet ﷺ is not that all of us know the whole Qur'an. The mission analyze the Sunnah and have hikmah and wisdom in all of our deeds? No. The mission of the Prophet ﷺ is when muzakkih, that he purifies. That as little as you know, you can be higher than those who know the greatest amount of verses in the Quran. You, as a person who knows little, can exceed in measure and in taqwa and in humility those who have memorized the whole Quran, those who can quote the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah has shown you favor that He doesn't hold you accountable just by how much you know, but what you do with what you know, even if it is little. So the essence of our faith, the message within our teaching, is yes, we seek knowledge and we seek to know the word of Allah and the book of Allah and we seek for it to be something that is a part of us. But the essence of it is that يُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ, that we purify ourselves and then we learn the book and we learn the hikmah and we learn the truth that was said in the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're going to talk about two kinds of Muslims. We're not talking about people who do not have faith. We're talking about those of us, you and I, who struggle every day. I struggle and you struggle every day. 4:05 a.m., it's a struggle. Tough. Hajj is tough, man. 4:05. It's not easy. إِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرًا. Allah says, it is wallahi a big thing. كَبِيرًا. إِلَّا. Except for those who have true humility to Allah. It's difficult. There was one day, only one day, in the life of the Prophet ﷺ that he missed Salah. It was Fajr, by the way. Do you know the incident of the Prophet missing Fajr sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The hadith is narrated by Imam Muslim. The Sahaba, they were in a journey. And they had been traveling all day in the hot sun. And they prayed Maghrib and Isha quickly as soon as the sun set, and they're exhausted. And it was the habit of the Prophet ﷺ that when they slept at night, they would leave guards, someone to stay awake to protect them from wolves and sheep and enemy, but also to wake them before Fajr. All of the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, I need to sleep, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Except who? Bilal. Bilal radiallahu anhu. He was also sabaqan al khayr. He was always, you know, wanting to do good. And Bilal said, Ya Rasulullah, I will hold on to this stick, and if I'm tired, I will lean on it. I'm not going to sit or sleep. So he leaned on it, but what happened? He slept, radiallahu anhu. And the only reason they woke up, min halq al-shams, they felt the heat of the sun. So the sun was up, up, up. When they woke up, and the Sahara suffered, the sun was up and they had not fed, wada'u turaba ala ru'usi. In Arabic culture, when you take the earth and you put it on your head, it's like someone died. It was a tragedy. Wada'u. And then sat on the ground crying. How could we miss it? It's inconceivable to them that even on a journey, even in traveling in the desert, even though they made an arrangement, someone would stay awake and qadar Allah, he fell asleep, even with all these excuses, how could this have happened? And the Prophet ﷺ said, look, we don't pray now because the sun is still rising. As Muslims, we wait until it has risen higher in the sky. And when the sun was at Duha, the Prophet stopped. They got off their horse. He told each of them, make two rak'ah sunnah of Fajr. But Fajr is already gone. Sunnah of Fajr, two, make that up? Yes, make it up. They prayed two rak'ah sunnah of Fajr individually. Then the Prophet led them in Fajr prayer after the sun had fully risen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why did this happen to us? There's a distance that they have from Allah. Qurba, nearness to Allah, is not physical. Qurba to Allah is that in his worship, you feel disconnected. The word salah, it means connection. Sila. Ana wasalta hadha al-akh, I connected this brother, I attached myself to him. Salah. In Arabic we say ittisal. I gave you a phone call, ittisal. I've connected. We connected the phone call. And therefore with Allah, when you make salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the aim behind it is that connection to Allah. And therefore, as distant as a person is from Allah azza wa jalla, it is a sign of having an unhealthy soul. That the regret at missing something that was important to Allah did not affect them in their day-to-day life. And therefore, one of the clearest signs that our soul is unhealthy is that we miss the wajibat. It doesn't have to be you miss prayer. It could be that it's hajj, and you have the health and the wealth and the strength and the ability, and you say, no, inshallah, next year. And therefore, you miss the wajib this year when you could go. You don't even attempt to send a visa to see if you will get it. No, you ignore it. Zakah, which comes from that word, tazkiyah. See, we're talking about tazkiyah, it's a higher level of thinking. Let me use myself as an example. I'm a teacher, so I teach students. If at work, just say I only teach 6 hours a day, I'm paying just 6 hours a day. Just so that our math is easy. Because 7 is too high. If out of every hour, I take just 5 minutes, personal time, it could be Facebook time, it could be chit-chat time, I'm in class, but instead of being in class, body and soul, I'm in class, but just 5 minutes, it's me, just for me, not anyone else. If I do that for 6 periods, it means at the end of the day, I have stolen how much? I'll see the math, eh? You will have trouble with the 7 hours. Half an hour, nice and tidy. If I do that 1 week, if I do that 1 day, you might say it's okay. But if I do that just 5 minutes, if I do that every day, for a month, for a year, it totals up to how many thousands of dollars? Thousands. That is not my haq. And therefore, when you ask the question, you say, Brother Yahya, is my job halal? It's not, is your job halal? Are you doing your job halal? Do you understand the difference? That is tazakka, tazkiya. You're now thinking in a different way. It's not just A plus B equals C. You're not wondering about this C. Is it pure? Now, don't pick on teachers. So there's teachers in the audience. Oh, yeah. There's plumbers. There's a plumber. I've had it. A plumber will come to your home. Yes, brother. This will cost you $150. Okay, brother. Can I have an invoice? No. If there's an invoice, it's $180. That's not how a Muslim is. We don't cheat each other and we don't cheat the government. No. The zakah. My money is halal. My income is halal. I worry about halal. They ask Sa'd, who is Mustajab al-Du'a, the uncle of the Prophet, al-Waqas. They say to him, why is your dua answered and some of the other sahabas and dua is not answered? He said, Mundu aslam, from the day I became Muslim, nothing entered my mouth except I knew where it came from. Allahu Akbar. I knew its source. I was careful what I fed myself, what I gave my family, how I earned my living. Tazakka, I was conscious. Higher of my duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That our soul is unhealthy. Negligence of our parents. I teach a course, we'll do a taste of it in Perth in a couple of weeks. Tafsir Surah Taha. In this surah, there's an ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He told Musa's mother how to save her son and to put him in the basket. فَأَلْقِيهِ بِالْيَمِّ فَلْيُلْقِ بِالْيَمِّ مِنْ سَاعِدٍ يَأْخُذْهُ عَدُوٌّ لِي وَعَدُوٌّ لَهُ. Put your son, and Pharaoh's going to raise him. He's an enemy to him and an enemy to Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَرَضَيْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ. But we returned Musa to his mother. كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا. So that she will be happy. وَلَا تَحْزَنُ. And so that she will not be upset. Can you believe Allah from above the seven heavens? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He cares for Musa's mother's feelings. You have to consider that at that time there were other women in Bani Israel whose children were executed by Pharaoh. But Musa's mother, Kanat Saliha, she was a righteous person. And Allah would not look down at her, this righteous person, and have her angry and upset and sad. If Allah wants your mother, even you as a baby, Musa as a baby, if Allah wants to please his mother with him, how dare you come today alive and healthy and well and you displease her? Allahu Akbar. They say to the Prophet, Man ahaqqu an-nas bi sahbati? Who is the one who is worthy of me? Ummuk. Okay, my mother. Your mother. You might say, my mother is dying from your head. Khalat, your enemy, her sister. The Prophet says, Al Khala Landa. The aunt is like the one who gave birth to you. You don't have an aunt, your mother's friend. The Prophet, even his wife Khadija, when she had passed away, he would give gifts to the friends of his wife who had passed away. Why? Just because they used to love his wife. So they had that connection. And a sign of our soul being disturbed and being unhealthy is that the thing that is most important after our relationship with Allah is neglected. Allah says, قَالَ رَبُّكَ أَلَّا يَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِوَالِدَيْهِ إِحْسَانًا. If you are fulfilling Allah's right, you have to fulfill the right. You're going to say, Baba Yahya. I know the people with us in our audience. They're going to say, Baba Yahya, my mother, she's not Muslim. She's not a believer. Yeah, Baba Yahya, she doesn't believe in Islam. Allah says, وَإِن جَاهَدَ. If they make jihad against you, عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي. That they want you to make shirk, to worship an idol instead of me. فَلَا تُفِعُمَا. Don't do what they ask. But, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا. Be their sahabi. Be Abu Bakr to her. And therefore, the soul that is disturbed and unhealthy does not neglect the ties of the parent. غَفْنَة اِقْتَرَبَ لِلنَّاسِ حِسَابُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مُعْرِضُونَ Allah tells you in the Qur'an, the time for people to be accounted for is soon. But they are turned away heedless, unaware. You and I, we know so many things, but we are unaware of what we know. We are incognizant of the ramifications of it in our life. How do you test this? Well, look at yourself in the remembrance of Allah. At the moment the Qur'an is recited, or you recite it, is the aim just to parrot the Qur'an, or is it to understand it? Some of you who were with me in Jumu'ah this week or last week, those in Borni or those in Cosmos, I said to some of the young children, go home and test your parents. Anyone here who is, or any Langford that maybe Jumu'ah? Anyone? Oh, there he is. I told them, tell your parents, and I'm not talking about non-Arabi. No, I'm talking Arabi parents. Don't think the Quran, because someone speaks Arabi, they know. I said, go home, ask your parents, what does وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحَا mean? فَالْمُغِيَاتِ قَدْحَا فَالْمُغِيَاتِ صُبْحَا اللَّهِ they don't know. There's Arab here, I'm not going to ask them. Because we don't want to have trouble. Right? Why don't you know? This is a surah that we've memorized since we were 6, 7 years old. Many of us were born with it. It was Arabic. You're like a polyphonic cracker. Why don't you know its meaning? Its meaning is very easy. You open up the Quran, you're going to read it in whatever language. Bahasa, Turkish, any language, Somali, English, whatever. Why don't you know its meaning? The meaning is lost to you, and the meaning is lost to those who are native there. You can hear Sheikh Abdul Basit, you know when he reads with that beautiful voice, and there's people in the masjid that say, Allah! Oh, your voice is rectangular, Sheikh, stand. Say the ayah again. And he's reading what Adiyat is about. You know what the ayah is? It's a threat. Allah is threatening Quraysh. He says, the war horses, the stallions of war are set to strike. When they run at you, the spark of their hoof of the feet when they strike the rock is going to send sparks and burn your home. And you're sitting in Salah and you say, MashaAllah, the Sheikh today, he sounds like Sudeis. Very nice. So, يعني جميل, جميل. Tell me, Sheikh. Put a little Sudeis in. You're not hearing what Allah says. The intent of the Quran is that you're aware of what it means. I'm not telling you everything in the Quran, but the surahs that you choose in your salah, you choose them for a reason. I was saying to my students, the reason I can read your mind when you pray Salat al-Dhuhr, the first surah you're going to read is قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Why? Because you don't know the meaning of other surahs. If you knew the meaning of وَالْضُحَى إِذَا زُلْزِلَتْ أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ, if it touches you, the quality of your salah, you become aware of why it is you are reading these verses. It becomes your mission to know these short surahs and to open and become acquainted with the word of Allah. The Imam, they have a saying, they say that we should make a wird. Wird in Arabic means where you take camels to find water in the desert. Meaning if you miss it, you're going to die. If you miss it, you're dead. And therefore the concept of dhikr is that if you miss it, Bismillah, before you eat, a part of you dies. Why do we call things in Arabic ma'asiyah? Isyan. Umar al-Khattabi has a famous statement where he says, Al-Asa fact, stink is lifeless. It has no life. But once upon a time, it was a branch on a tree. And it had flowers, and it had fruit, and it had leaves, it had life. But when it was cut down, it became a stick. So it became useless. And when you make a mistake in life, when you commit sins, you are killing your soul. You are cancering your nafs. You are harming yourself. You're becoming, as Allah describes in the Quran, كَأَنَّهُمْ خُشُبٌ مُسَنَّدًا. When you see them, O Muhammad, in prayer they're standing, they are nothing more than a timber brick, hollow. Nothing, no life in it. Asa, because of the sins we incur. One of the signs of an unhealthy soul is that we do not care to call others to the truth. We may know the truth, but we forget to share it with others. Or if we share it, it is not with the sincerity that they deserve from us. Sometimes you find people sharing with you knowledge to embarrass you. Does that happen often? It happens often to me. Someone will come and they'll say something that no other reason except to, you know, try to make you feel bad or put you down. But the truth of the matter is, calling people to the way of Allah is the path of Islam. And it is a sign of a good soul. And it is the understanding of the meaning of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ. Not one of you has true faith until they love for another person what they love for themselves. What is the meaning of the hadith? It's not that I love to have a lot of money, I want them to have money. No. It means I love my faith. I love my salah. I wish they love it and have it as well. I want for them what I want for myself in terms of my call to righteousness. One of the signs of an unhealthy soul is that you begin and stop, begin and stop, begin and stop. It could be salah. It could be, I'm going to begin memorizing the Quran. You stop. It means that there's this sirah within you, there's this battle. And until you become firm in what it is that you're doing, you have not solidified your faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You get really upset when you lose in the dunya. You don't get the raise you wanted, or something in the dunya you really wanted. And Allah tests you by you not having it. You become hopeless, frustrated, angered, upset, to a degree that is beyond what Allah asks of you to have. That frustration at the loss in this worldly life goes beyond your love for Allah who provides everything for you. And you can see this in failed relationships, in failed business opportunities, in failed educational pursuits. You can see it in a loss of health or wealth, that a person comes to a moment in their life and they see something that they are tested by Allah, but they lose hope in everything. And that is qunut from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't find comfort in worship or in your dua. You raise your hands to Allah, but it's uneasy. You perform your sujood to Allah, but the duty of salah is just so that it's done and not counted against you for not having done it. A man came to the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ and he prayed. And after he prayed, he came to the Prophet and said, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet did not respond. And said to him, irji' fa salli, fa innaka lam tusalli. Go back over there where you were, pray again. He didn't pray. He went, prayed, came back in the same way he had done before, and the Prophet didn't return his salam. He said, irji' fa salli, fa innaka lam tusalli. Go pray again, what you did is not salah. Third time, he finally asked, Ya Rasulullah, I didn't teach you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He wasn't doing things in the opposite order. He wasn't doing anything major as a mistake in salah. What was he doing? The Prophet ﷺ said, Ida punta pascunia. When you're standing, find tranquility, find peace. Wa ida waka'ka pascunia. When you make your rukua, wait until you find peace. You have to wait for it sometimes. Wa ida sajakta pascunia. Find tranquility. It's not that he was saying something wrong, or he didn't make sujood, or he did something major. His salah was not correct because he did not receive Allah's comfort. So comfort in prayer, comfort in ibadah, is an aim and an outcome for all of us. A sign of an unhealthy soul is to be full of argument and debate. The Sahaba, not once did they ask the Prophet ﷺ, is this wajib or mustahab? Have you ever heard the Sahaba say, is this a must, Ya Rasulullah, or recommended? No. This only came after. In that era, what they would say is, sami'na wa ata'na. I hear and I obey. One day the Prophet ﷺ came to Ali radiallahu anhu, and it was the middle of the night. And the Prophet noted that Ali was still asleep. So the Prophet ﷺ knocked on his door, because Ali's house was two doors down from the house of the Prophet ﷺ, and it would enter on the Masjid. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Alam tuhyi al-layla, are you not alive at night? Meaning, are you still asleep? Are you dead? So Ali radiallahu anhu said, the night is still young, long. There's still a little bit of time, Ya Rasulullah. Fajr is still, you know, a little while. So when he said that to the Prophet said, responded to him with a verse from the Quran, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. Mankind is ever quarrelsome in reply. Meaning his reply is correct, but it's not correct. Ya Ali, wake up. Of Allah, hasad. And this is the final one. There are others. Envy. You see someone happy and it bothers you. Shaklu wihsh. He just looks happy. It upsets me. I don't know why he's happy. But if he's happy, something's not right. There's people like that. Why are you happy? I don't know why he's happy. How come he's happy and I'm not happy? It might not be even a conscious process. It might be something that manifests itself later. And you find people, you know, they see someone getting married. They're not yet married. They see someone's engaged, they're not getting engaged. Someone got a job, they're still looking. Someone was promoted, they haven't found the same. Someone's happy with their family, they're not happy with their family. Someone's children did well, their children are not doing as well. So they look to one aspect of someone's life. The problem with hasad, my dear brothers and sisters, is that it removes Allah's blessing that you already have and forgot to acknowledge. Never are you going to hurt someone else. You know, when we make hasad, we look at why are they happy? It's not going to lessen them, it's going to lessen you. Because it is a moment of ingratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's begin by talking about developing a healthy soul. And the first steps to a developing a healthy soul is to do with what we know. And it's really that simple. You know that? Wake up. You know a little bit of Quran? Read its meaning. You know Quran? Teach it to those who don't. You read 5 verses a day? Read more. You read in the morning? Read also at night. What you know, what is important to you, what you value, what you're doing well, add to it. What you already know must be capitalized on in your life and in my life. To apply what we know. have in our community, in Western contexts, as Muslims, is that there are those who take too much of the deen too quickly. And the Prophet ﷺ warns you of this. He says, "Man shadda ad-deena ghadan," the one who tries to hold on to the religion, it'll wrestle him down, it'll beat him, it'll throw him out. The Prophet ﷺ saw some Sahaba. One of them was Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. Now Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, he is one of the five Abadillah. There are five people named Abdullah who were Sahaba, who were young, who lived at the time of the Prophet, who became the scholars of Medina. Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As. These Abadillah, these scholars of faith. He was a young man, 16, 17, and he was healthy. And he would watch the Prophet's worship, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَكَأَنَّهُ اسْتَنْقَصَ عِبَادَةَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. And it's almost as if he said, it's not enough for me to do the same. If this is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have to do more than him. So he and a group of these others, they came together and they said, listen, I'm not going to get married. Because if I get married, I have to get a job, and have a job, and then kids, I have to look after them. How am I going to worship Allah? I'm not going to get married. The other one said, I'm not going to sleep at night. If I sleep at night, I'm going to miss the prayer. No, I'm going to stay awake all night, making tahajjud. The other one said, if you're going to stay at night, then I'm going to stay awake by the day, fasting to Allah. Not one day will I miss. When the Prophet ﷺ heard this, he called me. He said, in asum wa ufta, I fast and I break my fast. Wa usalli wa anam, I pray at night but I sleep. Wa qad tazawwajtu min an-nisa, and I have married more than one woman, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni, the one who does other than my tradition is not from me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet warns us in our times and in his time that there are people who yatakallamuna bil Qur'an. When you hear them, what they tell you is the Qur'an. If you hear them, the things they say, Allah said. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ احْتَقَرْتَ صَلَاتَكَ لِصَلَاتِهِمْ. When you see them praying, and how often they pray, and how much they pray, you look down at yourself and say, this is what salah should be. Look at what I'm nothing compared to them. وَتَحْتَقِرُ صِيَامَكَ لِصِيَامِهِمْ. And when you see their fasting compared to your body, you say, I'm not doing any worship of Allah. وَلَكِنَّهُمْ كِلَابُ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. But those people who do this prayer, and who do this fast, and who are speaking with the Qur'an, eventually they will be like the dogs in hellfire. Why? Because they speak the Qur'an, وَلَمْ يَتَجَاوَزْ حَنَاجِرَهُمْ. They speak the Qur'an with their tongue, but it did not enter their heart. Their heart is harsh, inflexible, fiery, vengeful, unwilling to accept that a person can have more than one opinion, unwilling to allow a person an opportunity to repent from a mistake, unwilling to allow people to grow with their faith. It's either now or never. The Prophet ﷺ was not this way. There were moments in the life of the Prophet ﷺ where you see his mercy would be given to the one who was the least of the people. He would show his mercifulness ﷺ to the one who you would say has no right to deserve it. How can anyone show this man mercy? But the Prophet ﷺ will give that one mercy before others. He says, لَوْ صَرَكَتْ فَاطِمَا, if Fatima stole something, my daughter, I would order for her to have the hajj, to have the punishment executed on her. That she be punished, because it's my daughter's fault. But when others committed major crimes, the Prophet ﷺ shows the greatest empathy. I wish to share just one example. And it's an example that is contemporary to us. A man comes to the Prophet ﷺ in the hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad. And he says to him, Ya Rasulullah, in front of the Sahaba, as soon as the salah finished, jump over people's shoulders, sat in front of the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, it then means zina. Permit for me to have illegitimate relations with someone. Simple relationship. The Sahaba qamu alayhi, when Abu Bakr and Umar, they hear this, and Abu Bakr, can you just sign this, Ya Rasulullah? They stood up to beat this man. And the Prophet said, like, Da'u, uruju min al-masjid. Leave us alone, you get out of the masjid. Leave me in here. And he sat with him. It means touching a man's knees, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What do you think the first question would be? You know, in our context, this would be the first question. Who is she? Where'd you find her? Right? This is your son come up, you know? Who is she? Where'd you meet her? Okay, no more university. Sit at home. Right? So I said to him, first question. Atallahu li ummi. Would you be happy that someone came and asked you this question for your mother? And I said, La, bidaa nafsi ya Rasulullah. No. May I be sacrificed for you, O Messenger of Allah, that something like this happened. I would rather die. Atallahu li ummi. You want someone, one of these men that were here, to come ask me about your aunt, your other aunt? No. If you had a daughter, would you want someone to ask this about her? How would you want it for yourself then? If you don't want it for other people, how even will you ask it for yourself? And then the Prophet ﷺ put his hand on this young man's chest and said, Allahumma ghfir dhanba, O Allah, forgive his sin. وطهر القلب and clean his heart. واحصن فرجه and protect him from this day forward. Now, this shows you a different approach to the approaches we take in life. Logic and rationale and discussion and frankness and openness. And doing it away from the sight of others so that there's no shyness and embarrassment and laying everything as clear as it should be. So we take it step by step. We progress in our faith step by step, and we help others step by step. We therefore must also cut out those who are traveling in the opposite direction from Allah. There has to be a clear message that I put forward to you today, my dear brothers and sisters. The one thing that Allah consistently warns us about in the Quran that will lead us to wretchedness, difficulty on the Day of Judgment is not that we miss prayers, is not that we individually did something wrong, it is that we had a bad influence that we allowed to remain in our lives. And Allah tells us in the Quran that a person, يَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ, a person will bite down on their hand on that Day of Judgment in fear. يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. They will say, why didn't I walk on the road of the Prophet? How wretched is my life? How difficult is my situation? لَيْتَنِ لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. I wish I never had that person as my friend. Why didn't you walk the path of the Prophet ﷺ? Who's to blame? Your friend. You will blame your friend. You will say, I knew the path. This is the way I should go. But there was someone calling me. There was someone texting me. There was someone picking me up. There was someone having lunch with me. There was someone in my life that I knew is not good for me. My family told me. My friends told me. Those who are righteous told me. In my heart, I know this person is not right for my life. Ya wayleka. Why did I let this person into my life? Why did I keep friends with him? The Prophet ﷺ says to you and I, لَا يَأْكُلْ طَعَامًا إِلَّا خَطِرًا. Don't let anyone eat from your food unless they have taqwa. Now it doesn't mean you ask, can I have your taqwa license, please? How much taqwa you have today, bro? No, you need to add a little bit more today, bro. whatever. Sorry, I can't give you that sandwich. No. What it means in Arabic culture, when you say, it means break bread with you. If I was to be invited, if you were to invite me to your home, you could say to me, brother, there's a fridge, make yourself comfortable. I'm not going to get up and open your fridge, because it's not, I don't have that familiarity with you. But the one who does, who feels comfortable to knock on your door, to sit with you and your children and your family, the one who picks you up regularly on the way to work, the one who you meet, you hang out with, the one who's a part of your life mixed with you like that, make sure that person has a taqwa license. That's the one. You have to be careful. لَا يَقُلْ طَعَامَكَ إِلَّا تَقِيمٌ. He cannot be habitual entering into your life and in your home unless you're sure that that person is good for you and your family. Don't delay. I narrate this story to you because I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward them for it. My cousin, Manal, she is 34 years old. She lives in Cambridge, Ontario, Canada. March last year, around this time last year, it's winter time in Canada, her husband got sick. He got the flu. And he's a normally healthy guy, athletic guy, no problem. He doesn't go to the doctor regularly, which is a problem with men in general. And when he got sick, he said, just sick, I'll get better. And after 2 weeks of not feeling any better and getting worse, she said, you have to go to the doctor. The doctor said, look, you're normally a healthy guy, let me take some blood and, you know, urine and these kind of things. And they took it, and the next day they rang him and they said, you need to go to this specialist hospital in Hamilton because we found that you have leukemia. And you have nearly zero white blood cells. When he arrived to the doctor told him, look, you have 2 weeks to live. And this is out of, you know, no prior illness. 2 weeks to live. Now, Muhammad Hammam, which is the name of him, Allah Yarhamhu, he is a believer. And he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he passed away. 2 weeks earlier, his wife had just given birth to their third child. They said, begin chemotherapy, we'll do our best, and we'll bring your brother from Egypt to the plane has to take off to Canada. Should I wait and die? What do I do? And he all said, no, come back. Got on the plane, came back, arrived in Toronto, and spent the night with his family, with his kids, and the next morning after that, passed away. Allah Akbar. 2 weeks later, her father, my uncle, Ahmed Bishop, it is the day of Ashura, and he's fasting, and he has, mashallah, a large home, and he said, everyone come to my home. We want to be together as a family. We'll break fast together. Everyone in the family who was in Canada went to their house. And the time for mother came, about a half an hour before mother was, I'm just going to go lay down for a little bit. Call me when it's better. He went upstairs, laid down in his bed, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his soul. 2 weeks after his son-in-law. Time is not guaranteed for anyone. Not for me, not for you. There are students from this university who would attend my Jumu'ah, who would come to my classes, who would be sitting where you are sitting. There are people who I taught in high school. Their friends are sitting with us here today. Their family are with us here today. The Bruce family, Othman Bruce, and how he lost his life in Cottesloe Beach. Rahmatullah Ali. Ali, who came from Toronto to study pharmacy here in our university, Curtin University, second year pharmacy student, lost his life swimming in the deep. It's not by age, it's not by health, it's not by background, it's not by sex, male or female. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He takes whom He wills. One of my favorite students, may Allah's mercy be upon him, Zayd bin Hajj, a person of the Quran and a person of knowledge. He goes home to Afghanistan, had never been there for many years, and he dies in a tragic accident over there. Life is not guaranteed for anyone. And therefore, in developing our soul, time is like a sword. It cuts us without us being ready for it. Begin with salah. And the more you pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the more you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your ibadah and concentrate in your worship, and the more you make meaningful what you recite in it. One of the Sahaba, Mu'adh, when he would lead people in salah, before he would begin, after he would say, he would read every rak'ah qul huwallahu ahad. And then he might read something else. And the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah s.a.w. Every rak'ah, every time he prays, qul huwallahu ahad. Why? So the Prophet asked, he said, uhibbuha. I love it. Remind me of Allah. Not because I told you earlier, I have to say, qul huwallahu ahad, qul huwallahu ahad. No. What you love, what you know its meaning, read it. Find comfort with your prayer. Connect with the Quran and let it touch your heart. Give it your attention. Make a time for it. Make a will that you read something for it. And it's in Malik, the Sahaba, they would say, the one who doesn't finish the Quran every 40 days is written with the hikmah. This is how the Sahaba view the consistency of reading the whole Quran. For us, maybe not the whole Quran, maybe verses, chapters, essentials in our life. Consistency in our return and tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finally, my dear brothers, balance. And I want to end with this quickly. When we talk about balance in life, there are many people who are not balanced. The aim of a Muslim, anytime a person says this person is a Muslim, it means they say this person is balanced. They're not too far this way and not too far that way. They're not doing too much and they're not deficient in something. They are balanced. And balance is three things. The first of them is steadiness. That when the ground under you falls or shakes, you still are upright. We call it istiqama. And therefore in your salah you say, Ihdina siratal. Oh Allah, make me balanced. That when you give me illness, I don't crumble. That when you take my wealth, I don't crumble. That when you give me rizq, I don't go crazy with it. I don't, look at all the du'a. Balance. When you are in fitna, in life, you are steady. You are sure-footed. You are upright, mustaqim. Second, is that you apply equal strength in all things. You know, when you talk about counterbalance, if you put 50 here, then you have to put 50 there. If you made a sin here, you have to counterbalance it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Good deeds eliminate, cancel, expiate, remove sinful deeds. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "Inna sadaqat as-sirr, giving charity secretly, extinguishes Allah's anger against you. When you know you've done something wrong, it's hidden, no one knows about it. You want to prevent its harm from touching you in your home. Be charitable. It releases Allah's anger against you. You've done something to counterbalance the sinfulness of your life. And third." Equality. Justice is built on equity and equality. The Sahaba would even understand it in the most basic sense. Allahu Akbar. The Sahat, and actually the Adhan is a little bit early. It's 76. Strong of you poor people. I thought it was still on Kona time. I was looking at that watch. I know it's 7:06. For us, equity and equality, the yaquluna an-nasu bil qist. Allah said the basis of our Quran, anzalna ilayka al-Quran, wal mizan, we've revealed the Quran and the balance of right and wrong, li yaquluna an-nasu bil qist, so that people know how to be upright in justice. We treat everyone, including ourselves, with that equity and that equality. Of the greatest message that you and I can give to our young children is the word of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he teaches us that golden rule of all faiths. It is a natural law. It is a sunnah min sunanillah, where he tells us sallallahu alaihi wasallam that as a part of you, you have to want what is good for yourself and want it for others. It brings equilibrium in your life. The Prophet ﷺ says, wretched is the person, in dire difficulty is the person, who is fully fed and his neighbor is hungry. Sometimes we teach our children the wrong thing. We teach them to be uncharitable to those who look like they don't deserve our charity. You walk by a beggar in the city, someone sitting on the curb, and you say, oh, he's going to drink it. He's going to, you know, do this. I leave you with this hadith of the Prophet to think, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, in the middle of the night, a man, fi man kana qablakum, the hadith of Bukhari, a man woke up in the middle of the night, unable to sleep. There's something troubling him, like you and I. Every one of us has a trouble that we can't solve it ourselves. So the person says, the way I'm going to solve my problem is to solve someone else's problem. قَالَ سَأَتَصَدَّقُ اللَّيْلَةِ وَأُنَكِّرُ نَفْسِي. I'm going to hide who I am, because he was a well-known personality. I don't want anyone to know who I am. He covered himself up with clothing, went to a different part of the city, and he gave charity in the darkness of the night to the first person, إِلْتَمَسَ. The first person he touched, he threw charity at and ran away. Everyone in the city woke up. He doesn't want people to know it's him. He wants it only for Allah. He woke up, everyone's laughing. They're telling a story. What happened last night? تُصُدِّقَ الْبَادِحَ عَلَى سَالِفِ. Someone gave charity yesterday to a thief. Meaning there was a guy hiding who was just about to rob him, right? You say, oh, look at this fool coming, I'm going to take his money. He's just about to show him the knife, and he goes, here's some charity. So I'm like, he's like, well, what's happening? So this pious man, qala, كَيْفَ يَقْبَلُ اللَّهُ تَصَدُّقَ عَلَى سَعَدْ. Allah's not going to accept charity to a thief. I'm going to do it again tonight. So he goes out the second night. He catches up, he gives charity, runs away. Everyone now is laughing even more. What happened? تُصَدِّقَ الْبَارِحَ عَلَى عَاهِرَةً أَعَزَّمَ اللَّهُ. Last night, may Allah protect us and our families and our children, someone gave charity to a woman who was selling herself. He gave charity, ran away. How did someone do it? So he said to himself, Allah's not going to accept that charity. The third time, gives charity, everyone now is on the floor laughing. Third morning, what happened? تُصُدِّقَ الْبَارِحَ عَلَى غَنِيِّنَا. The richest one in our city, someone stopped him and said, here's some charity, brother. And he looked at him and said, okay, thank you. Right? And left. The Sahaba laughed as we laughed. You know, this hadith is actually Mustalsalun bil Dhahik. In hadith narration, when you study hadith, chains are chained according to circumstances. So there's some hadith, I can't narrate it to you unless I smile and say, ضَحِكَ النَّبِي. The Prophet smiled like this when he said this hadith. And this is one of those things. So do I have to smile? You have to smile. 7:06. So the Prophet said, أَضَحَكُونَ Do you find it funny? He said, yes. He said, أَمَّا الْأُولَى, after the first night, after that first night, when he gave charity to the thief, except the thief took that money and said, I don't have to hurt anyone. I don't have to rob anyone tonight. فَرَجَعَ إِلَى بَيْتِهِ, and he went home. فَأَمِنَ النَّاسِ, so by that charity, all people were protected. أَمَّا الثَّانِيَ, as for the second night, when he gave charity to that woman, عَفَّتْ نَفْسَهَا, she honored herself. And she said, I don't have to burden myself. I only did it because I had nothing to eat. She had enough for herself and her children and went home. And as for the third night, خَرَجَ هُوَ الرَّاجَعَ, the rich man, when he received charity, he knew the importance and the joy it brought. So he went out the fourth night to give charity. Balance. What you want for yourself, want it for others. And then the Prophet says, صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا, never overlook a good deed you may perform. These are the details for the next lecture, inshallah. Same hall, 7 o'clock till 8:30, inshallah, March the 9th. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. Because for such a large crowd of people, inshallah, if the brothers and the sisters, you can make your way down to the Musa.